The word title today is Wounded Hearts. Wounded Hearts. Scripture for today is out of Psalm 109th chapter. A bunch of them in Psalms in there. Verses 21 and 22, and I'm going to be reading this from an unusual source. I'm reading the New International Version. Not normal for me, but it's a Psalm of David. And he says this, verse 21. But you, sovereign Lord, help me for your name's sake. Out of the goodness of your love, deliver me. Verse 22. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Can you ever imagine that the king of such a prosperous nation would be poor and needy? Israel was a very prosperous nation, had much. But King David recognized that his poverty was one that was on the inside. And the only cure for that kind of poverty, that poverty and wounded heart, can come from the Lord God. You know, King David was such a wise king, a wise man. And he understood this. And this understanding really escapes most people, doesn't it? Who's been wounded in heart? And I would say all of us could have raised our hand to that because you're here. You've sought Jesus. You felt the poverty of being absolutely alone, even when in a crowd. That your heart's been hurt. You know, we can be prospering greatly on the outside, can't we? I mean, we can just have it all, and we can be absolutely broken on the inside. We can have all this world has to offer, and that doesn't fix any of it. It just doesn't. We look fine, but it's just not true. And it doesn't even have to be a huge loss, does it? A lost loved one, or a broken relationship that's just absolutely devastating. We can just really look fine, go around. But it can be just a smaller hurt that devastates us, something that's on the inside. A word somebody says, or an action. And we can just spiral down with a wounded heart. We just can. And we think we can't share that with anyone because, you know, if it's a small one, we think others might think less of us if we let something like that bother us. So we just keep it inside. I can't speak for the ladies about this, but I can speak for the men. I know the male ego is fragile. It's all bravado and blustering and braggadocious, if you will, on the outside, but boy, on the inside, we can be just broken up. And I would say this to all of us, dying on the inside like this can be a huge drawing card, a huge magnet, if you will, that a Holy Spirit can come and minister. It says this in Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Did you hear that? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. It's called humility, isn't it? When we come to the realization that we're wounded on the inside. And that's what Churchill said, wasn't it? During a long life, I have had to eat my words many times, and I have found it a very nourishing diet. Wow. What's he saying? He's grown in maturity so much that words that have come to him or words that he said, he has learned and recognized that these broken or deeds that are done, he's let those come in and he's realized, wow, that's a chance for growth that God's allowed into my life, that I can grow up and be closer and more like him. Or learn to never say that kind of thing again. I won't say that again because that causes pain to somebody else. I know it really bothers me when I've said something and I realize it's hurt somebody. Never intended to happen that way, but it happens, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed when you're talking to a person and you all of a sudden realize, oh, they've taken offense, or this is hurting them, and you really feel bad. And what do? You immediately step out on, and now you're on eggshells. You know what I mean by stepping on eggshells? If you're afraid to step forward, you'll crush something. And it's just the way it is. You're just there on eggshell, and you don't, it's been an injury or a hurt to their feelings or sensibilities or maybe even to their reputation. And doesn't even have to be a big event, does it? But nonetheless, it's a subject and it's a real wound. It's a wound that already existed in the heart, either our heart or the one we're talking to. Wounded hearts. I have an example I want to share out of Scripture this morning of a wounded heart. And it doesn't speak directly and say this is a wounded heart, but it is. But it's on display for all to see, and Jesus addresses it openly. And I love how the Gospel of John sets the scene in this scripture. And setting the scene, I mean, he tells us so many outside details, you know, details around the event, that when I read this portion of scripture, I almost feel like I'm on the sidelines, I'm invisible, and I'm watching this happen, that I can actually see this event happened. See if you can't come to that conclusion. This event happens in Samaria. It's basically like an enemy territory for Jews because they just don't get along. And so Jesus really isn't welcome here because he is of the house of Israel. Anybody here know a place where you're really not welcome? Ever been in a place where you feel like you're not really welcome? I can say if you can't think any, just walk into a biker bar. All of a sudden you wouldn't feel so welcome. I remember one time I was working at ABB and I had a boss who invited me to come, and it was a board meeting. You know what I mean by board meeting? All the big dudes were there. And he was inviting me into the meeting because he wanted me there as a resource. There was a project going on, and I was kind of overseeing the project. So if there's some questions about it, and he didn't know about it, he wanted me there to be able to answer those questions. So I stepped into that room, and it was all the heads of departments. They were a couple layers above me in the corporate ladder. You understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about that. And I stepped into this room, and I've never felt more unwanted in my life. Fact is, they were all around this great big table, and they didn't even have a chair for me to sit in. So I had to stand off to the side and just kind of listen to what's going on. And none of them really wanted me there. I knew that I was there, I could listen, but I'd only speak if I was spoken to. I know that's kind of a lame example, but it's really, to me, just kind of a place where I didn't want to be. You know, I believe the disciples felt this way in Samaria because the Jews and the Samaritans just, well, they didn't get along. And Jesus, you know, he just didn't act or think like we do, did he, when he was here? He was just totally different. I'd like to go to this now. It's in the Gospel of John. It's in the 4th chapter. We're going to start right out in verse 1 here, and I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. John 4, 1. Jesus knew that Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciple did. So what does that tell you? revival's broken out. Jesus, the ministry of Jesus is just exploding. People are coming to Jesus and the disciples are having to baptize them. So basically they're having revival. So what does Jesus do when revival comes? He says, so he left Judea and returned to Galilee. What do we do if we have revival? Man, we break out and say, come on down. You know, last thing we do is leave. He's just so different. And he had to go through Samaria on the way. And that seems like a small detail, because if you look at a map, you have Judea, this is where Jerusalem is, then you have Samaria, and then you have Galilee. And if you look at Jerusalem and Galilee, where Capernaum, where basically his home base was, maybe 75 miles. And you got about 45 miles in the middle, which is Samaria. And this is where they had to walk through. Seems like an unneeded detail, but, you know, John, through the inspiration of Holy Spirit, really believed we needed to hear these details and know this. Because if it's in Scripture, it's what? It's important, right? So there you are. It's about a 45-mile trip up through Samaria. And they're walking. Many days walking. And the village of Sychar is probably close to about 30 miles north of Jerusalem. So that's probably what we're talking about. Verse 5, John 4, chapter verse 5. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar. And near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. 6, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. And soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. Please give me a drink. Simple request. He was alone at the time, because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. And the woman was surprised, for Jews have refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew, I am a Samaritan woman, why do you ask me for a drink? Started right away, didn't it? Just right up front, the animosity and the divide was there. All Jesus did was ask for a little drink of water. Give me a little drink of water. She had brought something to get water with, a jar or a water pot that she'd carried with her, and she immediately pointed to a general wound of Samaritans versus Jews and Jews versus women. Is this what her real wound was? It wasn't, was it? We all know the story. Is it why she was so grumpy? If you read this, it reads grumpy, you know. It's not, is it? But to her, this was a safe subject because everybody knew the Jews and the Samaritans. There was a lot of animosity between them, between us. And none of us like to open up what our real wounded heart is all about, do we? We're not going to present that. And Jesus was weary from the journey. You know, it's just like what they did here. They'd stopped, and it was almost noon, and they were going into the village to get something to eat. It took days to get from Judea to Galilee. And after all, this was a Samaritan woman and not a Jew. And he was sent and called to the house of Israel, wasn't he? That's what Jesus was come. And John, through the inspiration, said, we need to know about this. It's so important for us to have this scripture, because see, it shows Jesus' heart, how he reached out to a racial problem, which was Jews versus Samaritan, and an issue that the Jews had, being she was a woman and they considered them less. And he was ministering to a wounded heart that day across these things. You see, most of the Samaritans thought they belonged with Israel, but they didn't really have anything to do with them, and they didn't worship in the same place. And most of them, the truth is, their heritage is really mixed. And very little Judaism, if you will, being a Jew, was in there. I am probably more Choctaw Indian than they were Jew. And my great-grandma was full-blooded Choctaw. She was mini bird, but, you know. But there was just very little. And so he jumped way across this, all this. The divide was big. And it's really a very important part of this story to consider and bring into it and realize what's going on. You see, for any person, if you think about the situation, who's had 5 or 6 marital-type relationships, any other subject besides that is much more comfortable. Feels safer. You know what? Anytime there's a relationship issue, it's a hard issue, isn't it? And I don't care that this was over 2,000 years ago. Relationship issues are relationship issues. She was pretty knowledgeable about those things, and I'm talking about Judaism. She knew about worship. She knew about what the Jews felt. She'd been looking. She'd been seeking. She was very knowledgeable about the well they were next to. She told him it was Joseph's well. Yep. So she'd spent time seeking. She'd have 5 failed marriages. What was she seeking? She was seeking something. The question just revealed a lot about her understanding about it all. And she's going to have to break through all this racial issue, all this religious issue, all this man versus woman issue to be able to receive her healing. There's always stuff, isn't there? Who has stuff they need to break through so you can get close? So you can get our heart right. I know there's lots of stuff. All of us have lots of stuff. What's the first word you'll generally hear about any relationship that's having trouble? Well, people normally say, it's complicated. Why is it complicated? Things have been said. Things have been done. There's things we believe about one another, true or not true. It's complicated. And it doesn't even matter if you're married or not. A relationship issue that comes up, they're always hard issues, and they're complicated. Sometimes it's so bad you begin to wonder whatever possessed you to get into the situation you find yourself in. Been there? It's called being wounded, guys. Having a wounded heart. That's what drives you into those situations. It's woundedness. You know, my son, he didn't make it today. He was so excited when he met Kristen. We didn't know her from Adam. He actually met her at a church camp down at Pomme de Terre. And we didn't know anything about her. And he came home, and all of a sudden, he was going to get married. And I thought, holy cow, we don't even know this young girl. But, you know, as I got to know him, I found out she was his soulmate. You know how I found that out? He told me that she only liked the crust of pizza. I mean, and he loved the center.
Are you married?
Yeah. Well, all you single guys that hear this, sorry, she's off the market. He married her. But honestly, I'll go on. You know, this is not a message about marriages. This is not a message about broken relationships. This is a message about wounded hearts. The heart of the issue. Wounded hearts. John, the Gospel of John, let's go back. Chapter 4, verse 16, New Living Translation again. And Jesus said this. He said, "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. Verse 17. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. And Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband. for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. You see what's happened here? Her secret's out. She is laid bare before Jesus. She now knows, he knows. Her wounded heart is out in front of her. He'd already offered her living water, and she didn't understand. Where are you going to get that? You didn't even bring anything to draw with. Who was he talking about? He was talking about Holy Spirit, wasn't he? But who knows? The natural man doesn't understand the things of God. She didn't. How could she understand? She didn't know. So she asked this question. Listen to how she says this. Gospel of John, 4th chapter, verse 20, New Living Translation. She says, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? You can almost taste the biting words she's saying. Is she responding with anger? Or is she responding with hurt? Or is she responding with fear? And I would say she is responding with all of them. She's very wounded. It's not the question, is it, that really needs to be asked or answered. It's her defense mechanism is in play here. She's saying this to get off the subject of her. He's told her, you've had five husbands, and this one you're with now is not yours. Let's talk about anything else, Jesus. Anything that's not me. Jesus does answer her question. Listen how gentle our Savior is. Verses 21 through 24, we're going to New King James Version. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We know that we worship what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We're big on that here, aren't we? Worshiping in spirit and in truth. That's where it comes from right here. Yep. She's been gently corrected that she's wrong and shown the truth. So she responds with something she absolutely believes is true. She says in verse 25, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Just what Jesus was waiting for. The whole conversation boiled down right here. Then Jesus said to her, John 4:26, I who speak to you am who am he. Wounded heart, now healed. Oh, the relationship issues are still there. Yeah. But what she's been searching for all this time, her lifelong search, is now bound up. She's wounded. She has found the one she's been looking for. This is the relationship she really needed, she really wanted. Scripture doesn't even say that Jesus ministered any more words to her, but that she left. Her purpose for life had changed. A man could never have filled what she needed. She'd replaced all that with the one who heals. She thought she needed a man. She'd been through five of them. And obviously the one she was with now, who she was in a relationship, he wasn't working out because they were just living together. He wasn't the answer either. So that's number six. That's because no man can fill the place of Jesus in a wounded heart. and a searching heart. There are some scriptural consequences of a wounded heart, are there not? We'll look at them. You know, we can just try to live with the wounds of a heart, but most of us who get wounded physically will immediately go to a doctor, won't we? We use bandages, we'll take and put antibiotic on it, we'll get stitches, we'll put cold compresses on bruises. If we start to swell, we'll immediately, you know, put that cold compress on there, maybe elevate it to try and keep the swelling, because we all know swelling is not good. It allows more pain and slower healing. Comes to a physical healing, there's hardly a hoop we won't jump through. How about a wounded heart? What we usually do is we complain. I mean, that's what she did. We'll display anger toward people we love. That's what we do. Sometimes we'll accuse others of wrongdoing. But heal the wounded heart. Here's the thing. Most of us, or a lot of us, many of us, don't even understand it's a wounded heart that we're dealing with. It's a wounded heart that needs help. You know, sometimes others try to help us. Have anybody tried to help you through a situation where you got a wounded heart? Well, he just needs to get over it. Or, you know, you just need to forget about that. You know, quit your griping, just move on. You know, that's kind of weird. So what do most of us try to do? We just try to suck it up and move on, right? We just suck up that wounded heart. And the wound only festers and hurts and drives us to do things that we shouldn't. Psalm 38:8, King David said this, "I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil in my heart." I'm feeble and severely broken because my heart's in turmoil. David's not physically ailing here. He's wounded in the heart. And if you go to Psalm 38, it lists a long string of ailments that he had because of this turmoil in the heart. We can get turmoil in our heart over a lot of things, can't we? And I think we can all identify with having a heart that's in turmoil. Or how about this one? Let's go to Psalm 69:20. David again. And he says, "Reproach has broken my heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for a comforter, but I found none." Reproach, insults, slander. Yeah. It doesn't even matter if it's not true. If it comes, man, it hurts. It hurts. Maybe there's just a little truth to it. Heaviness comes, and we just want it to go away, don't we? You know, maybe if I go buy something, I'll feel better. Or maybe if I just make myself my favorite meal and I eat it, I'll feel better, I'll do better. Or maybe if I drink something, I'll mush up that pain and quiet it. Anything to stop that pain on the inside. Who knows, there's just one healer of a wounded heart. There is. It always seems to help to seek out others, to talk with them about our problems. But there's only one who can heal it. Some of us are so private, we won't even do that. We won't even seek out somebody else to try and talk it out. But there's really one really good thing that comes from a wounded heart, from a heart that's in turmoil, from a heart that's heavy. Back to Psalm 34:18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted." That means what? He's even closer than normal. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Jesus comes very close when our heart is wounded, when our heart's in trouble. Who knows when we have a wounded heart, the opposite seems to be the truth. We seem to be alone. And there isn't a bigger lie in the universe. He draws close when our hearts are wounded, when we're brokenhearted, when something's bothered us, when somebody slandered us and it affects us. He draws closer. And I got this word from the Lord. Our wounded hearts are stepping stones to victory. Our wounded hearts are stepping stones to victory. We can step on those wounds, get victory over them. You see, it's so important for us to do that because there's two directions a wounded heart can take you. It either leads to death or it leads to life. It's so important how we react to our wounded heart, to not push it down, to not suck it up and just move on. That's not what God wants us to do. Right after Jesus came back from his time in the wilderness, you remember he went to the synagogue in his hometown, Nazareth, and he went in and he was given the scroll of Isaiah. And he read Isaiah 61:1 to announce his ministry, what he was going to be about. Listen to what Jesus is about. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's why he came. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Here's the thing, just like the Samaritan woman at the well, what we think is just our secret has to be laid bare before him. Not necessarily before others, before him. Until she realized that Jesus knew what was hurting her, things were going to change then. Her wound was open before him. He could deal with it. We have to admit to ourselves our heart is wounded. And then we have to admit to Jesus, my heart's wounded, Lord. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. We've got to go to the one source that can heal our wound. And he is the one source. You see, you have to come to that relationship where you know that you know that you know that he's listening. And he draws close when our hearts are broken. He's right there when we're wounded, when somebody said something or done something, or we've said something, or we've done something that's wounded our heart. And it's right there, and he knows. He knows. No sense running around acting like it, sucking it up and moving on. Lay it out before him. Tell him, you know, Lord, I did this or they said that. And I forgive them, but it doesn't matter what they think or what they say. It's my heart that's wounded, not theirs. It doesn't matter what they think. What matters is what you think. And he is right here, right now, close to every wounded heart. Drawn up just as close as he can get. He's saying, tell me about it. I want to bind up that broken heart so that you can move on. You can step on that stone and go to another place with me. Get a little closer. They're for a purpose, guys. The wounds come for a purpose. They come to help us grow and mature in him. It's why they come. Why'd this happen to me? Jesus loves you. And he loves you with an everlasting love. That nobody, there isn't an angel in heaven, there isn't a devil in hell, can get between you and Jesus. Can't do it. They haven't got the authority. They haven't got the power. Don't let them do it. Don't hide it in recesses of our mind. Let's lay it out. Some of us are pretty good about this, but boy, a lot of us are not. Don't raise your hand, because I'd have to raise mine. Male egos. Male egos. I don't know about you ladies. Confess it before him. Say, you know, I've done this. I said that about him, and Lord, I should not have said that. And my heart's hurting over this, and I think they are too. So forgive me. Heal my wounded heart so I can take another step towards you, Jesus. So I can get a little closer, become more mature, and become the person you want me to be. Yep. Wounds are going to come, aren't they? And there's nothing worse than a wounded heart, a broken spirit. Yeah. Just so true. Jesus said this in Matthew, the 5th chapter. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? Because they will be comforted. Two choices. We can grump, complain, lash out to those who love us, or we can let him come fix our heart. How about praying with me this morning?